From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Arielle Gray. Welcome to Consider This in Boston. For years, Massachusetts was one of a few states that didn't license police officers. That means the state didn't really track accusations of misconduct either. Now, a new law is changing all of that. But as WBUR's Grace Ferguson reports, compiling a list of complaints against police is actually trickier than it sounds. She joins us now to tell us a little bit more. Hey, Grace, thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's jump right in. I take it from your reporting that this new push to license police officers here in Massachusetts, it all stems from the protests that erupted across the country after George Floyd was killed by law enforcement 2 years back.
Yeah, that's right. One result of those protests in 2020 was that the Massachusetts legislature created a new agency to license police. It's called the Peace Officer Standards and Training Commission. And that commission is really just getting started. They just moved into a shared office space in downtown Boston a few months ago. But even though they're still getting settled in, the commission hopes to complete a key milestone in the coming weeks, a public database with thousands of complaints against police officers across the state.
So it kind of amazes me that they didn't have anything like this before. How else is the public supposed to hold police officers accountable for misconduct?
Yeah, well, the commission's executive director, Enrique Zuniga, told me that accountability is a big part of what this initiative is all about.
I think people will feel likely that their complaints are noticed. They have been noticed in the past. They just have not been public. And that's an important part of building or enhancing trust.
Zuniga says they plan to have a publicly available database online within weeks, actually potentially as soon as May 20th.
So all of this sounds like a really great start. But I take it that they're also saying it's not an easy task to do all of this. What are some of those reasons?
Yeah, so even when the database gets online, it still won't be complete. The commission is going to leave out any complaints that are still under investigation. And also, Zuniga told me that out of the 400-plus police departments they're collecting information from, over a dozen haven't provided any information at all.
What? That's crazy. So even though they're required to by law, they still haven't provided any information?
Yeah, that's right. And they're also facing other challenges. For one, lots of police officers have worked for more than one department over their careers, so the commission has to piece together records from several different agencies for each person. And that's especially hard because so many officers share the same first and last name. In fact, there's actually at least 11 officers named Michael Murphy in the state, and four of them are in the state police alone.
I don't doubt that considering that we're in Massachusetts, especially in Boston. I feel like Murphy's a super common last name. But I can see why it's pretty important to identify the right officer when it comes to these misconduct allegations.
Totally. And Zuniga says that they're taking that really seriously. They actually delayed the launch of the database so they could take time to tell every officer apart.
So I guess one of my main questions is, how are the police reacting to this whole thing?
So the police chiefs I spoke to do support police accountability, but some of them warn that the database isn't going to be perfect. I talked with the Dracut Police Chief Peter Bartlett, and he said he wasn't sure it's realistic for the commission to collect the entire history of every single active officer in the state.
They may want that in theory, but I think that even the data or what's available for records may not be complete, going back years and years.
Bartlett told me his department only has records going back to 2004, and some departments only provided data going back a few years. And police also have other concerns. Bridgewater Police Chief Chris Del Monte told me that he worries the database could tarnish the reputation of officers who've had complaints, even if they were minor or unfounded.
Well, I think it has the potential to unfairly give an officer that scarlet letter.
Del Monte says officers have to make split-second decisions under pressure, and some mistakes are just bound to happen. But Del Monte says he still supports the commission's efforts to hold police accountable, and so does Chief Aaron Kennedy of the Leominster Police Department.
We're an open book. I got nothing to hide. If someone screws up, they're going to have to pay the penalty.
Well, it sounds like we'll all be able to take a look at this data more closely pretty soon, right?
Yep. Soon, ordinary people will be able to see the data and make their own judgment. The commission hopes to put the database online later this month.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing how all of this unfolds. Thank you so much, Grace.
Thank you for having me.
That's WBUR reporter Grace Ferguson. Before we go, here's what else is going on. Boston has unveiled two new programs to fight climate change. One will offer discounts and subsidies for residents in East Boston who want to install solar power. The other is a partnership with the MassSafe program, run by utilities. This will increase outreach to residents of East Boston, Roxbury, Dorchester, and Mattapan to offer free assessments and resources to improve energy efficiency. Reverend Mariama White Hammond is the city's chief of energy, environment, and open space.
We must shift to renewable energy and, more importantly, increase energy efficiency so we lower how much energy we need, not just for our larger buildings, but also for our small businesses and our homes.
The city says the programs are being funded in part through federal pandemic relief money. Meanwhile, temperatures are expected to get into the 80s this weekend, providing the first real test for Mayor Michelle Wu's newly created heat resiliency plan. Mayor Wu says reducing the impacts of extreme heat requires long and short-term strategies.
The plan is really about addressing the fact that even though we know what to do in the big picture, that many of these changes will take time and the need is here right now.
Solutions include everything from planting more trees and increasing ventilation in older schools to distributing cool-down kits at community events. And finally, the city of Worcester is trying to combat the stigma around mental illness with two new initiatives. One is a program to teach high school students about mental health and careers in behavioral health. The other will have mental health clinicians respond to certain 911 calls.
People are afraid to say that they have certain issues of how they may that may affect them at work, or that people will think differently of them. So it's not something that's really talked about openly.
That's Dr. Maddie Castile, the city's Commissioner of Health and Human Services. She says that the goal is to really demystify mental health conditions, especially at a time of rising rates of depression and anxiety. And that's all for today. From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Ariel Gray. See you tomorrow. Do you feel happier when you're connected to your community? If so, you should check out Radio Boston, WBUR's local daily news magazine, where the town hall meets the kitchen table. Radio Boston is a great way to stay connected to what's happening in our city and our region 5 days a week. Just search for Radio Boston in your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe.